Welcome to the Animal Communication Workshop course. This is your host, Tim Link of Wagging Tales. I'm pleased that you joined us tonight and today. We're excited about having this opportunity to teach you a little bit more about animal communication, what it is, how you can relate and connect with your animals at a much deeper level, how to understand their wants and needs, as well as have them understand what your wants and needs are. During this course, we'll go over a little bit of background about what is animal communication, what some of the expectations you should have for this course. I'll give you an overview of my background, how I got started in this, and how what I do today to be able to help hundreds of thousands of people and their animals have a better life and better relationship with each other. We'll go into some detail also about telepathic communication. What is telepathic communication? How do the animals communicate on that level? And how we can get back to communicating on that level. We'll go into a breathing exercise. So we're going to be doing some meditation during this course where we're going to teach you how to relax your body and how to relax your mind. These are critical components to be able to open yourself up to be able to connect with the animals. If you're not in a relaxed and open state, it makes it very, very difficult to connect with your animals at a very deep level. So we're going to teach you some techniques here on how to relax your body and relax your mind. We'll go into some guided meditation. Now, the guided meditation is a fantastic part of the class. We'll actually go into the bodies of the animals, and I'll walk you through a guided meditation where we actually explore how it feels and the sensations and everything that goes on with the various types of animals, where we're talking about four-legged animals, domestic animals, wild animals, birds, aquatic animals. We'll go into those bodies of those animals to teach you what that feels like and what you can expect and what they feel like in their lives in their own environments. Then we'll go into a section which is called sending information to your animals and receiving information from your animals. This is how to actually have the two-way conversation, how to send and receive information to your animals and receive that information back from your animals. And we'll go into some details with that. And then we'll wrap it up with some homework assignments. You never leave a good course without some homework assignments. So we'll actually give you some homework assignments on how to work with not only your own animals, but animals of friends and family. And we'll go into some detail with that as well. So I'm excited you're here with us. We're excited about the opportunity to be able to present this to you. I want to set some ground rules right up front. This class, of course, should be very enlightening, but it should be fun at the same time. I don't want you to put any undue pressure on yourselves. If you have not experienced animal communication before or know very little about it, that is perfectly fine. Hopefully, at the end of this class, you'll know a lot more about it and you'll have a lot more fun with it. If you're experienced in this, if you're doing this professionally or part-time or doing this as something you're wanting for your own animals or animals in rescue or shelters or whatever it may be, this is going to be a great course for you as well, because we'll go through actual steps and procedures and processes and ways that you can connect with animals at a much deeper level. These are based on experiences that I've done over the years. These are based on what I do on a daily basis to get myself into that mindset and relax my body and relaxing my mind and connecting with the animals. Most of all, I want you to have fun with the course. This should be a fun and enlightening course. I don't want you to have any pressure on you whatsoever. If for some reason you don't get it right away, well, the good news is you're listening to this via audio. So you can go back and replay it over and over again and practice your skills. Believe me, my gift opened up overnight where I could communicate with the animals, but I didn't really get proficient at it and wasn't really what I considered an expert until I had months and years of practice and experience at various levels. So I don't want you to be down on yourself if you don't get it right away. If you do, fantastic, congratulations. But it always takes practice, and even for those of us like myself who do this for a living and do this on a daily basis, I still need to practice. I still have to make sure that I'm doing the things I need to do to be able to connect with the animals at a much deeper level. So we're excited about this opportunity. At this point, I want you to get comfortable. I want you to get relaxed. So if you're sitting in your favorite chair, get good and comfortable there. Put your favorite pillow behind you. Prop up your feet if you need to. Don't lay down because I don't want you to go to sleep during the meditations, but I want you to be comfortable during this. I want you to also, I would recommend setting your intention that you're going to learn everything you possibly can from this class and you're going to have a fun and exciting experience with it. I would suggest you also, for housekeeping purposes, turn off all of your phones in the house, turn off all your cell phones, maybe close your door, give yourself some dedicated time for this class. Get in your quiet zone and get your pad of paper, get the notebook that we provided for you, get your favorite pen and pencil, and take your notes along the way. Other than that, we're here to have fun, so let's get started. You're listening to Tim Link, Wagging Tales, Animal Communication, Workshop 1. Now, before we get started on our first section, which is telepathic communication, I thought I would give you a little bit of an introduction not only to who I am and what I do, but also an introduction to this course, because everyone here has a particular reason for taking this course and a particular thing they want to accomplish, but it could be different for each and every person. So everyone has their own personal reason for signing up for this course and purchasing this audio file. It could be that you're just wanting to get a better understanding about what animal communication is all about. It could be the fact that you are doing some work in this area now. Maybe you volunteer your time at local rescue organizations or shelters. Maybe you are a trainer and work with animals on a daily basis and you want to expand your offering to your clients and be able to do more for them and their animals. Maybe you're simply wanting to know your pets a little bit better and how to work with them and how to better understand them so you guys can continue to have the greatest life possible together. Could be possibly that you're a veterinarian technician or work in a veterinarian's office and you want to expand your offerings and your understanding, your compassion for the animals. Perhaps you are working with animals in rehabilitation, doing some aquatic therapy or physical therapy for the animals, and you're wanting to learn about animal communication so you can better understand what they're going through, may have a better understanding of what you need to do for them so you can properly rehabilitate them. So whatever your reason is, or you may have multiple reasons, that's perfect. That's what this course is all about, and that's what we're going to teach you here on this course. Now, the purpose of this course is to teach you, most of all, to trust your own intuition and to learn the skills and gain the knowledge that is necessary to utilize your intuition to be able to work with the animals at whatever level you wish. This can be from simply working with your own pets and or working on a much larger scale, like I do, to help bridge the communication gap between the animals and their human companions. But the biggest thing that I want you to get out of this is to trust the information you're receiving. Time and time again, people that get frustrated possibly, or they feel that they're just not getting the information from the animals, or they're not communicating with the animals at the level that they need to, they are usually very surprised when I tell them that they are actually getting the information. The information is getting through to your animals, and you are receiving that information. You just have to be able to trust the information you receive. Whether it's coming to you in words, whether it's coming to you in pictures, colors, feelings, emotions, you could be receiving all of this type of communication from a particular animal you're communicating with, or it could be one or two bits. Maybe that animal only chooses to communicate with you in the form of words or in the form of pictures. However they choose to communicate with you is perfectly fine because that's what they're comfortable with. The key component behind it is the information that you're receiving. You trust that information. You write down that information and you trust what you're receiving. If you can manage to overcome those self-doubts that we put in our minds, our feelings of, oh, I must be imagining that, or I can't be possibly intuitively connected with my animal, if you get past those and put those aside, you'll quickly realize that the information you are receiving, whatever fashion it is or whatever form it is absolutely correct. It's 100% correct, and that's what I want you to go with. So trust those feelings. Trust your intuition that you're getting and the information you're receiving from the animals. Now, what we will be covering in this workshop is all the things we mentioned before. So we're going to talk about telepathic communication. We're going to go through some breathing and some meditation exercises to relax yourself, relax your body, and open your mind. We're going to go in some guided meditation on how to get inside of the animal and feel what they're feeling and see what they're seeing, and then how to send and receive information from your animals and some practice tips, some study things that you'll need to do after the course is completed. we won't be covering in this particular course anything to do with lost animals, and we won't be covering anything to do with energy healing. Those are separate topics for a separate course. This one we're going to focus on how do you communicate with the animals and how do you build that best understanding relationship possible with them. Now, a little bit about my background. This has not something that presented itself early in life. As a matter of fact, it presented itself much later in life for me. I've always had a love affair for the animals, but I grew up in a very modest house, very small house, 725 square feet to be exact. And in this 725 square foot house was my two sisters, my mom and dad, and myself. So not a lot of room for critters in our household, though we did have one dog named Bandit, who was a college shepherd mix, who spent most of his time outside and not in the house. But I've always had that love affair for animals, but I wasn't the guy who brought home stray animals that you know either showed up at the house or I found them somewhere. I didn't rescue squirrels from trees. I didn't bring cats in from out in the woods. That just wasn't part of my environment. I had a very simple upbringing. We had our one dog. I worked very hard, got good grades like my parents taught me to do. I went to college and I started a career in telecommunications, and I built a very long and successful career in telecommunications. I spent 20 years as a telecom sales executive. I traveled the world selling the latest technology that goes into cellular phones, or what we call smartphones or wireless phones today. So technology that was going into those phones 4 or 5 years into the future. So all these wonderful things that we find on our smartphones today, like being able to download music, download this audio file, look at pictures, look at live TV, all these things I had been working on and selling well before they actually got into actual handsets. And my clients, my customers include the biggest names out there. So I worked with companies like Microsoft and Texas Instruments and Intel and Motorola selling this technology to them. So I had a very long and successful career and did this for 20 years. But in February of 2004, that was all about to change. February 2004, I went to a little workshop, and this workshop was a little half-day workshop that taught us how to relax our bodies, how to relax our mind and open our mind. We went into guided meditation so we can get inside of the bodies of animals, and we learned the ways to communicate telepathically with the animals and receive the information. Amazingly enough, that's exactly what you're going to learn tonight. So the things that got me started and opened my door to be able to communicate with the animals are some of the things I'm going to teach to you on this course. And I'm hoping that it will open your door. And at the very least, it will give you a better understanding of your animals and a better connection with your animals. So this little workshop that I went to was in February of 2004. And little did I know that during this workshop, I would connect with over 100 questions from 25 different animals. And these animals were, some of them were there in person with me, and others were through via pictures, connecting with pictures. And we're going to talk about how to do that later in the course. And every time I asked a question, it was a very simple question at the time. These questions were things like, where does Spot like to sleep? Where color is Fluffy's litter box? Where does Winnie like to eat her hay? And the interesting thing about it is when we connected with these animals, we looked at these pictures, looked at these live animals, and we asked these questions, we would receive some information. Now, at that time, I received mostly pictures and a couple of words. Over time, that grew into receiving additional words and colors, pictures, feelings, and emotions from the animals. But initially, for me, it was a picture and a couple of words. When I connected with the animals, asked them those simple questions, and received information back, I wrote down the information. I compared it with the human companion or the owner of the animal, because they were the only ones that knew the answers to these questions. So no one during the workshop, not even the instructor, knew the answers to these questions. But each time I connected with the animals, I'd ask them these questions. I would receive information. I would write it down. I'd compare it with the human companion. And lo and behold, I was 100% correct on each and every question that I asked each and every animal. So we're talking about well over 100 questions that was asked, and I received 100 bits of information, and it was 100% correct. Now, I thought at that time, this is very cool. This is very neat. I think this is wonderful. I also thought it was pretty strange and pretty far out there because it wasn't anything I had expected, anything I anticipated. I had no anticipation going into this class, no expectation that was set. I just thought it'd be fun and to be around a lot of like-minded people and be around a lot of animals. So I thought it was a little bit out there. And mostly I thought, wow, what am I going to do with this information? Because it wasn't like I could fit this into my normal life. You know, being a telecom executive, meeting the CEOs and the heads of major corporations, it wasn't like I could go to them and say, I tell you what, Mr. CEO, if you purchase $30 million worth of my technology today, I'll come by and tell you why Fluffy is no longer using the litter box. Now, I thought if those worlds were ready today, then that would be great. I'd be your first animal communicator selling cellular phones. But I knew those worlds weren't quite ready. And I also knew this was a brand new gift that was given to me. And I need to work on it. I need to practice on it. So that's exactly why I did. I continued my career in telecommunications. I kept this rather quiet at first and continued to work with my own pets and working with friends' pets and family members' pets, helping them out, helping solving behavioral problems by communicating to the animals and receiving information back from the animals. I help identify medical problems, physical problems going on within the animal to give the human companion better guidance for when they go to their veterinarian and what they should be looking for. We also worked on mental issues and emotional issues within the animal to help them out whenever there's a major change or shift in their life. They get emotional and they go through mental challenges just like we do. So we started working with that through my own animals, through friends' animals, and through family members' animals. And then later on, I became president of our local humane society, no-kill shelter. So I had an opportunity at that point to work with thousands of more animals, dogs and cats that came in through our shelter that would get adopted out to their right and perfect forever homes. So I had plenty of opportunity to work on this gift and let it continue to expand and to continue to grow. And finally, in 2007, the gift had grown so much. I was receiving words, colors, feelings, pictures, emotions. I was having people email me, call me, asking me to help them out with their problems and their concerns with their pets. And it got to the point where it was quite overwhelming, and I needed to make a decision. And my decision was either to continue my 20-year career in telecommunications and keep this quiet and do this on the side, or to take that leap of faith and do what I believe I'm here to do, which is help people build the best relationships possible and the best understanding possibles between the animals in their life and the animals around them and themselves. And so I took a leap of faith in 2007 and started a business called Wagging Tails, WAGGINGTALES. And you can find out more about Wagging Tails and the things I do by visiting my website at wagging-tails.com. And it's been an incredible journey since then. Since 2007, I've worked on thousands of cases, helping people build better relationships and understanding of their pets and the animals in their life. I've had opportunities to help solve and help veterinarians solve medical problems going on within the animals. I work on missing pet cases. And I also work with people who are going through the grieving process when they've lost a pet. My clients are all over the world. I virtually cover every state in the United States. I have clients in Mexico, Canada, Hong Kong, Korea, United Kingdom, France. Virtually, you name it, I have people contacting me. In addition to that, it's grown and expanded to the point where I'm now doing nationally syndicated radio shows and helping people understand their animals through those radio shows. I've appeared on numerous television shows. I've written a book called Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, and we've got other book projects in the works. So it continues to grow and expand, and for me, this was a path that I didn't know was going to happen. So grateful that it has happened, and now I have an opportunity to help the animals each and every day. So whether through this course your door flies open and you start to work with animals on a daily basis and make this part of your life, or whether you're already working with animals and you want to add this as another complimentary offering, a service, another part of expanding your business and expanding your gift to the animals and to the people, or whether you're just wanting to find out more about your pets, any of those are perfectly fine, and that's what we're going to try to help you do during this course. So I appreciate you sharing some time with me, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And now if you're ready, we're going to take a brief pause, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about telepathic communication. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Animal Communication Workshop course. This is Tim Link of Wagging Tails. And once again, I'm excited about you joining us for this course. This is going to be an exciting course, and it'll be a fun course as well. Now, the first topic we're going to talk about in section one is telepathic communications. What is telepathic communications? Well, let me tell you what telepathic communications is. Telepathic communications comes from word telepathy, and telepathy is the acquiring of information from another, whether it is another living person or a living thing, through the transference of thoughts, ideas, feelings, and mental images. Just as some of you are born with various natural talents, perhaps such as the ability to be an excellent singer or performer, maybe you excel in sports. Similarly, people are born with a natural ability to communicate telepathically, but its development is not always encouraged. The word telepathy is a blend of two Greek words, tele, meaning distant, and pathia, meaning feeling. The challenge we have is we're all born with this gift. We have this ability to be able to communicate telepathically when we're born. Many of you probably have heard of mother's intuition. Well, mother's intuition is a big part of your telepathic communication. When you're an infant, you haven't formed your vocabulary. You're not able to speak like we're speaking today. You basically, other than cooing and crying and whining and laughing and all the little things that young infants do, your main way of communicating is that telepathic connection. You have that deep connection with the people around you. And when we talk about mother's intuition, that's that communication path between the infant and their mother. And the mother can simply look at little Timmy sitting on the ground and know there's something not quite right. Timmy's perhaps is not feeling well, or she's getting a feeling or a picture, some visualization that Timmy's not doing well. She has sort of that gut feeling, as we call it. And so she knows naturally to act on it. And so she knows to pick Timmy up to find out what the problem is, or perhaps take Timmy to the doctor's office to find out what the problem is. And lo and behold, she finds out what the problem is. It's solved. She knows it. She knows instinctually what to do. And if you were to ask that mother afterwards, how did you know that? How did you know there was something wrong with little Timmy? The mother would probably say, I don't know. You know, I guess we call it mother's intuition. You know, I got that gut feeling that something wasn't quite right. I got a picture, you know, I get this mental image that there was something wrong. I had this feeling that there was something wrong. Well, all of those things come from that telepathic connection between the infant and its mother. The challenges come into play is when we become old enough, when we become 5, 6 years old, and we've learned our vocabulary and we're sent off to school to learn the proper way to communicate between human and human, we tend to forget how to connect at that deep level. And so what we're trying to do during this course is we're going to help you get back to that level. So we're teaching you something new, but in reality, it's something you had born within you from the very beginning. And we're trying to get back to that level so we can open up at that level and teach you about what telepathy is all about. Now, how does telepathy work? Telepathy is possible between any living or once living thing. So we're talking about animals, people, plants, etc. They all have connection through that energy. They all can communicate telepathically. For example, when birds fly in a flock, and when you see Canadian geese, for instance, and they're flying in that beautiful V pattern that they fly in, when the lead goose gets tired, they know telepathically through communicating that the lead goose will now go to the back of the flock and the back goose will go to the front. Now, they didn't have to land and have a little conference and have a little squawking session to determine who's going to take that lead and what's going to happen next. No, they continued on their pattern because they communicated telepathically. They sent a picture, perhaps, to one another. They sent a thought to one another that the lead goose is now going to fall back to the back of the pack and the one in the back will move to the front. So you see that happen all the time. the Aborigines of Australia, and we hear of Native Americans, and even the children I mentioned below the ages of, say, 5 or 6. They know how to communicate telepathically. They use that even today. They use that ability to be able to connect with each other. That's when you hear the stories of Native Americans, whenever they would send a scout out, send someone out to find where the buffalo were. They would find where the buffalo were and send a message, a visualization, a thought out to the rest of the tribe to join them there because that's where the buffalo was. Unfortunately, the white men, as they called them, or the cavalry, they would send a scout out. The scout would identify where the buffalo were. Then they would ride their horses back to camp, get the rest of the cavalry, and then ride back out to where the buffalo are located. And hopefully by the time they get there, the buffalo are still there. So that's how they go about doing it, because they're not using that telepathic communication. They're not using their telepathy the way they were meant to be used. So all living things are made up of energy. And we all originate from the same source energy. And using telepathy to make a connection with another's energy allows telepathy to be possible. Now, some call the telepathic connection a heart connection. You have a heart connection with someone, so you know what they know. You feel what they feel. We hear that a lot with humans when they're twins. And one twin could be in Los Angeles, and the other twin could be in New York City. And the twin in Los Angeles wakes up one morning and knows there's something wrong. They have that vision. They have that feeling. They have that gut reaction, that heart connection. And they pick up the phone, they call their sibling in New York, and they find out that, oh, you know what? There is a problem. There's a physical problem or emotional problem, whatever it may be. There's an issue going on. So they knew that because they had that heart connection. So you can look at telepathic communication and that telepathic connection as a heart connection. Some people refer to it that way, and I think that's a perfectly fine way to look at it, because you have that. The closer you are to someone, the deeper you are connected through that heart, we'll call it, the more you can open yourself up. And the more you open yourself up, the more you receive. And that's a big part of what telepathic communication is all about. The important thing to remember about being successful in using telepathy is to first relax. And you have to quiet the mind. You have to relax the body. And you have to become centered. Which we will learn during this class, during this course. Once this is done, use whatever techniques that we discuss later on in the course that make you comfortable and make you ready to be able to communicate at that telepathic level. So we're going to teach you a little bit about opening up those telepathic communication channels. So think of yourself as a radio receiver. Once you're tuned into the right channel, you'll hear and smell and taste and see clearly what you're supposed to be receiving. So it's going to be fun. Now, what are the different forms of telepathy? There are basically three main forms of the telepathic communication. The first form of telepathic communication is the transmission of feelings, which is the most common form of communicating among animals. The second form of telepathic communication is the transmission of emotions and images, which the transmission of emotions and images are most common among humans. So we tend to communicate a lot more with our emotions and our images, more so than we do with our ability to be able to transmit using feelings. And the third form of telepathic communication is the transmission of words, which is the most difficult and requires the most training. Now, if you reflect back to when I first found out I had this gift to be able to communicate with the animals, in addition to receiving pictures from the animals, I received a couple of words. So, you know, I found myself very fortunate to have this happen right away. And for you, as you're going through this course, it may be the first thing or part of the first things that you receive. And if that happens, that's fantastic. But for those of you that don't receive words right away, that's okay, because feelings, pictures, and emotions are just as important as the actual words you will receive from your animals. And over time and over practice, you'll start to receive the words as well. So when I communicate with animals, I receive the information in all the forms above, all the forms of telepathy. I found out that the form used really depends on the animal's preference. So when my telepathic door initially opened, you know, I received those words and those pictures. Later on, I received those colors, feelings, and emotions, smells, and tastes, and things from the animals. But that only came to me after many, many months and years of practice. So practice, 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 trust what you receive, and allow those feelings, colors, words, and emotions to flow through. And that's the important thing about it. So telepathic communications is what it's all about. You can call it a heart connection. You can call it telepathy. You can call it a knowing for the animals, whatever you want to call it. But it's really called telepathic communications. And it's when you have the ability to receive and send information without using the spoken word. And that's what we're going to learn in this course. So that's telepathic communication. All right, we're going to take a brief break here, listen to some music. We'll come back. We'll talk about correct breathing techniques and go into a little bit of meditation, which will definitely help you out as well. You're listening to Tim Link of Wagging Tales, and this is Animal Communication Workshop 1. Welcome back. Welcome back. So we learned a little bit about telepathic communications and how you can communicate telepathically with your animals as well as any other living entity. If it has energy, you can communicate with them telepathically. So in section two, we're going to cover correct breathing techniques. Now, I always like to ask the people in the courses, how many of you know how to breathe? And when I ask that question, I always get the strangest looks because, yeah, we know how to breathe. We're breathing right now. Why are you asking such a silly question, Tim? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But that being said, everybody breathes, every living thing, obviously animals as well as humans. We breathe, we collect in oxygen, and we release carbon dioxide, and we breathe. But do you breathe properly? Are you doing a proper breath? Taking the proper amount in? Are you breathing correctly that way? Are you sustaining that oxygen, letting it come into your whole body and sort of relax your whole body and whole mind? Are you letting the breaths come in a fashion that is meant to be by expanding your diaphragm and not necessarily your lungs and your chest first, but expanding that diaphragm? So what we're going to accomplish in this section, correct breathing techniques, is to tell you a little bit about correct breathing. And then we're going to go in some meditation. We're going to actually practice our breathing and then practice relaxing our bodies and then relaxing our minds. So I want you to, once again, relax. Get your favorite chair underneath of you. Let us support you. Put a pillow behind you and listen to a little bit about correct breathing. And then we're going to go into some meditation. Now, relaxation isn't just a state of mind. That's only part of it. The breath must be engaged and integrated with our thoughts. Now, that's a very broad statement. It's a very, maybe a prolific statement. But what I'm really trying to state here is that your breath is more than just breathing in and out to sustain our livelihood, but a breath should actually cleanse and fill your whole body. And it should integrate with your whole body as well as your whole mind, clearing out all the thoughts that you don't need in your mind and opening up your mind and your heart and your body to be able to receive the information that animals are willing to share with you. So it's much more than just breathing in and breathing out. It's really encompassing your whole body and relaxing your whole body with the breaths that you're taking in and releasing, as well as clearing your mind and opening your mind and clearing out all those thoughts, those monkey minds, those post-it notes on the brain, those honeydew lists that you have on your brain, how to clear those out and open your mind. Now, correct breathing can make a huge difference in how you feel. Anxiety, being upset or angry can dissipate by simply breathing. If you breathe in slowly, deeply, quietly, let it encompass your body and open your mind, all those things will be released. Your anxiety, being upset, being angry, all those things that are cluttering your mind will be released. The lack of proper breathing and the lack of oxygen in the blood can make you feel tired. And if you're feeling tired, you can't accomplish what you need to accomplish. You can't open yourself up fully. You can't fully, though your body and mind feel tired, you can't really relax and get in that deep, deep state that we're talking about. So in this part of the class, as part of the course, we're going to be learning how to breathe correctly using our diaphragm muscle. Now, the diaphragm is a huge muscle that rests horizontally across the base of the rib cage. So you go to the bottom of your rib cage, and sort of go right there in the middle, right above your stomach, but below the rib cage. That's where your diaphragm sits. So it's this huge muscle that rests horizontally across your entire base of your body and across your entire rib cage. Imagine an oval-shaped dinner plate or bowl turned upside down and sitting inside your lower rib cage. That's what the diaphragm would look like, that sitting there ready to receive all that wonderful oxygen, all that wonderful breath that you're bringing in and helping you release it. Now, the diaphragm is connected in the front along the sides of your lower ribs, and it's also along the back. So it extends all the way from your front to your back, horizontally across your body. While there's no motion in your upper chest and lower abdomen, when the lower abdomen is properly taking in the breath, your chest should not be expanding. You should be letting your diaphragm fill up first and then naturally pushing out your chest. So a lot of times when you ask people, say, okay, take a deep breath, and you take that deep breath and you go, and you look at yourself in the mirror, you look at the person beside you and you realize, oh, I just pushed my chest down. I just inhaled through my chest, and my chest is really big and expanding. Well, the challenge is that you really haven't let your diaphragm accept that air. So your breath is actually shallow. You're not bringing in that whole amount of air. So when you breathe properly, your diaphragm will actually expand, and it's like your stomach is actually pushing out. So you'll actually see the movement of your stomach come out more so than you'll see your chest fill up and expand. Now, your chest will have a slight expansion because the diaphragm, once it fills up, it pushes up on your chest. But it's not really taking in that air to the chest cavities. We're taking it to that diaphragm, so your stomach should actually expand outward. So when you take that deep breath, I want you to feel your stomach expand. So let's try that real quick and make sure everybody really realizes what we're talking about. So I want you to lightly place both of your hands, place one on top of the other, and place them in that spot just below your rib cage, but right above your stomach, okay, right where that diaphragm is going to be laying. And now I want you to take a deep breath, and I'll ask you to hold it for a three count, and then I'll ask you to release it, okay? Let's take a deep breath in. One, two, three. Release. Let's try that one again. Take a deep breath in and hold it. One, two, three, release. Did you feel your diaphragm move? Did you feel your stomach expand outwards? Yes, you should feel that. And it should feel good when you take that deep breath and your stomach expands out and you hold it. You almost feel it encompassing your whole body. You feel it expanding. You know your lungs are expanding, but more so that diaphragm is collecting all that wonderful oxygen in and relaxing you. And the more of those deep breaths you take in and then release them, the better you feel. The more relaxed you feel, the more open you feel, the more it cleanses your body. So that's what we're talking about. So whenever you get anxious, whenever you get upset, or you just need to open yourself up a little bit, get in your quiet spot, put your hands lightly on your stomach, take those deep breaths in, hold them, and release them. Feel how that happens, and keep doing that till your body becomes relaxed and your mind becomes open. You'll feel that tension just melt off of you, and your body will feel alive again because you're taking in the proper amount of air because you're letting your diaphragm do that work and allowing it to expand and help you fill up your lungs and your whole body. And in your workbook, you'll see actual picture of the actual diaphragm itself. But remember to do that. Breathing is very, very important to be able to successfully cleanse your body, relax your body, open your mind. So taking those breaths, very, very important. And trying to do this as often as possible. I tell people all the time, especially if they're, you know, if they're at work or they're out in traffic or they're doing computer work or whatever it may be, even if you're just sitting watching TV during commercials, take a few breaths. And put your hand on your diaphragm and feel, you know, that diaphragm helping you bring in that great air and breaths and making you feel much better, letting oxygen take over your whole body. So try to purposely do this every day, multiple times a day, to get in that relaxed state, taking those deep breaths. Very, very important. All right. Now, it's time for some meditation. Meditation time. Now, for those of you that don't practice meditation, that's okay. It's not a scary thing. I'm not asking you to sit down on the floor and do the crisscross applesauce by crossing your legs. I'm not asking you to get into the lotus position and touching your thumb and fingers together. If you do that, then great. If that's your comfortable place, if that's your quiet zone, by all means, do that. But for those of you who haven't experienced it, it's a very important part to be able to communicate with the animals. Now you think, well, Tim, how does meditation help me connect with my animals? Are you asking me to meditate with my animals? Well, actually, that would be great. And actually, you'll probably find out that the pets in your life, that when you go into that quiet state, when you go into that meditation state, they'll naturally be attracted to it. They'll be attracted to that positive energy, the positive energy that you're collecting when you're going up to that higher level, when you're actually opening your heart, opening your mind, and relaxing your body. They'll like that. And so you'll often find the animals come into the room while you're doing your meditation and sit down right beside you or lay down right beside you because they love that positive energy. And animals always respond to positive energy. They rarely, if ever, actually, we should retract that. They never respond to negative energy. So if we're tense and we're anxious and we're feeling stress, if you've ever noticed, our animals tend to avoid us as much as possible during those times. That's because we're not getting that positive energy state. So the meditation will definitely help you out with that. Now, I always encourage people to take, you know, at least one time a day and go in some lengthy meditation. Feel free to use these meditations to relax your body and to open your mind. But if you're not able to take a long period of time to do your meditations, then break it up into a couple different sessions. But steal that time away. Set aside that time to be able to do that. Now, you'll find out as you start practicing with your pets, you may have to do a lot more meditation up front before you try to communicate with your own pets or friends' pets or family members' pets. Over time, you'll be able to do less and less to get yourself in that state of mind and to relax your body and open your mind. You may have to put them in smaller bits. So each time you connect, you may have to do a brief meditation to be able to open yourself up. Any way it works for you is perfectly fine. But I love to be able to spend, you know, still a little bit of time, set aside at least a half an hour of my day to go through some of the meditation, use these meditations that I'm going to give you here shortly, and use them to relax my body and open my mind. So at this point, I want you to get comfortable. Whatever it takes for you to get comfortable, take that time. Set down your pad of paper, set down your workbook, set down your pen, and I want you to get in a comfortable state, and I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to walk you through a relax your body meditation. And while you're doing this, I want you to focus on your breathing as well. Okay, so when we first start doing this, I'll ask you to take a few breaths, and I would like for you to place your hands on top of each other right on that diaphragm, right below that rib cage, and feel those breaths coming in and releasing those breaths. And then once we're into meditation, you can continue to leave your hands on your diaphragm to feel that oxygen and air, wonderful breathing coming in and out, or you can put them down beside you. Whatever makes you more comfortable is what's important here. All right, so everybody get in that relaxed position. Get in your quiet place. Close your eyes, and we're going to relax the body. Okay, place your hands on your diaphragm. And I want you to take a breath, deep breath in. Hold it for a count of three and release. So begin, breath in. One, two, three, release. When you release that breath, release it quickly and feel your body starting to relax. Once again, take a deep breath in. One, two, three, release. One more time. Take that deep breath in and hold it. One, two, three, release. Feel your body relax. Continue to leave your hands on your diaphragm if you wish, and naturally feel that breath coming in and being released out. Let your body take normal breaths in and release them out. You should start to feel your body relax as you're breathing. focusing on your breathing at this point. Nothing else. Letting everything else leave your mind. Letting that sweet breath come in and releasing it out. Feeling your body relax. Taking those breaths in and releasing them out. Feel your body become more and more relaxed. Picture your toes and your feet becoming more and more relaxed with each and every breath. Feel your legs, your lower legs and your upper legs, become relaxed with every breath coming into your body and releasing out. Feel your stomach and your chest become lighter. Feel it almost floating. If you feel like you're floating, that is fine. If you feel tingling sensations, that is wonderful as well. Feel your upper body start to relax with each breath in and each breath out. Focus on your arms and your hands and your fingers. Feeling that breath flow through your body all the way through the tips of your fingers. And your arms and your fingers and your hand are becoming more and more relaxed. Taking more and more of that breath in and releasing. Let it float up into your head. You can feel it going up into your face. Letting your facial muscles relax. Release the tightness. Release the tightness in your eyes, your nose, your ears. Each breath in, release, release. Let it feel your top of your head relaxing, your eyebrows, your forehead, until you feel the breath going virtually up into your head, opening it up wide, pushing out all of those thoughts. Taking those deep breaths in and releasing them out. At this point, your body should become much, much lighter. You should be very, very relaxed at this point. Now I want you to turn your attention to your feet, and I want you to turn your attention first to your toes. And while you're continuing breathing in and releasing out, I want you to curl your toes upwards and then release them. Curl your toes upwards, hold it for a few seconds, feel the tightness in your toes, and then release. One more time, curl your toes upwards, hold it in place, feel the tightness in your toes, and now release. Your toes should feel very light. You should feel that breath going through your toes. Now I want you to do your feet. Focus on your ankles and your feet. I want you to turn them upwards, flexing them upwards. Now I want you to hold it till there's nice tension in there, and then I want you to release them. When you release, remember to release them immediately. Let your feet relax. Once again, take your feet, curl them in an upward motion, hold them tight, hold them in place, and release. At this point, your feet should feel very light. You may feel that tingling sensation once again. That's okay. You should feel those feet relax, feel the breaths go through them. Make sure that you're breathing properly. Your feet should be totally relaxed. Your ankles, your toes should be totally relaxed at this point. Now I want you to tighten your calf muscles. Tighten them up. You can point your toes toward you to tighten them up, or you can hold your legs in place and tighten up those calf muscles. Make them really, really tight. Hold it, and release. Tighten up those calf muscles once again. Tighten up those calf muscles. I want you to hold it, and release. Your calf muscles should feel nice and light, very light, maybe some tingling in there. Now I'd like you to focus on your calf muscles. Hold your legs outright if you need to. Tighten up those calf muscles. I want you to tighten those calf muscles till they're good and tight. Now I want you to hold it, and release. Your calf muscles should be good and released, good and relaxed. Let's do that one more time. Tighten up those calf muscles. Hold those calf muscles, hold those thighs together, and release. You should start to feel the tension release through your whole bottom part of your body. Your legs, your upper, your lower parts of your legs should be relaxed at this point. Your calf, your thighs should be relaxed. Your toes, your feet, your ankles should be nice and relaxed. Let them continue to be relaxed. We're going to continue to move up the body. I want you to focus on your buttocks. And I want you to tighten your buttocks, hold it, and release. So at this time, tighten your buttocks, hold it in place, feel the tightness, feel the tension, and release. Feel the pressure leave out. Make sure you continue to breathe in and breathe out. Let's focus on the buttocks once again. Let's tighten it up, make it nice and tight, nice and tense, and release. Feels much better. Your whole bottom part of your body should be nice and relaxed now. Really loose, feeling nice and light, feeling maybe a little tingling or some floating sensation. That's what we want to feel. That's what we want to feel. So the bottom part of your body, the whole bottom part of your body from the hips down are nice and relaxed at this point. Now I want you to move up to your body, to your stomach muscles. This is your solar plexus. This is the spot right below your diaphragm, right consisting of that area. And then while you're still breathing in and out, I want you to tighten those stomach muscles. So let's tighten those stomach muscles. Tighten them up, clench them in, hold it tight, and release. Make sure you're releasing immediately, letting that oxygen flow through your body, letting that breath flow through, releasing to your stomach, relaxing it while your whole bottom part of your body is relaxed. Your stomach should now feel relaxed. Those muscles in your solar plexus and your stomach muscles should feel nice and relaxed. Now I want you to go up to your chest. I want you to tighten up your chest and hold it and release. Let's tighten up our chest now. Tighten it, hold in place, tighten those chest muscles and release. You may feel yourself slouching a little bit or leaning forward a little bit with that release. That's perfectly fine. We want those muscles in your chest to sort of take in that oxygen, release, almost like it's melting. Total release. Let's tighten up that chest one more time. Take a breath in and out. Tighten up that chest. Hold it in place. Hold it and release. You should feel that breath flowing through. You should feel the release of the tension that's in your chest. From your chest down, it should be released. Now I want you to move up to your arms. Let's start with the right arm first. And I want you to relax your muscles in your arms. So I want you to take your arm and I want you to fold it toward you. Fold your wrist and your forearm toward you, making a tight muscle. Take a breath in. Release that breath. Now I want you to take your arm, make that muscle, and then hold it tight. Okay, begin. Hold it tight, and release. Your arm muscles should start feeling some tension releasing. Let's do it one more time. Let's make a fold up your fist, make a muscle gesture. Fold up your forearm to your upper arm. Let's hold it in place. Let's hold it. Let's hold it, feel that tension, and release. It should feel good. Be a little tight at first, but then that muscle should just totally relax. Totally relax. Then we go to our forearm. We do the same with our forearm. We make a fist. We tighten that fist up. We tighten that forearm up, and let's hold it in place. Tighten your forearm up now. Hold it. Hold it, and release. Good. Very good. You're doing so well. Now I want you to take your hand. I want you to take your hand and make a fist. I want you to take your hand, take a fist, and I want you to hold it in place, and then we're going to release the tension out of our wrist and out of our fingers and out of our hand. So everybody make a fist, take a breath in, make a fist, hold it in place, and release. You should feel that blood flowing through your body. You should feel your fingertips possibly tingling. That's great. That's perfect. Now let's do the fist one more time. Let's make a fist and hold it into place. So make your fist, hold it tight, hold it, and release. Oh, that feels so much better. Now let's do our left arm. Let's do our left arm. So once again, close your hand, roll your forearm up to your shoulder. Make that muscle moment happen. So let's tighten up that muscle right now and hold it into place. Hold it, hold it, and release. You should feel that muscle start to release, possibly tingle and maybe a little bit of lightness or even some jerking sensation in there. That's fine. That's releasing that tension in that arm. Let's do it again. Let's make a fist. Let's take our forearm, move it up to our shoulder. Let's make a muscle gesture. Let's hold it in place. Now, let's hold it. Let's hold it and release. Good. Now our forearm. Make a fist. Tighten up your forearm. Hold it in place. Let's begin. Make your fist. Tighten your forearm. Hold it tight. Hold it tight and release. Let's do that one more time. Let's make a fist. Get your forearm. Hold your forearm tight and hold it tight. Hold it and release. Very good. Very good. Now let's take our hand. Let's focus on our wrist, our hand, and our fingers. So let's make a fist and we'll hold it in place and then we'll release. Make your fist. Hold it tight. Hold it tight. Hold it. And release. Feel that tingling sensation in your hands as those muscles release. Now one more time. Make a fist. Hold it tight. Hold it tight. And release. Good. You're doing so well. Doing so well. One last thing. I want you to focus on your face. I want you to smush your face together like you've eaten something sour, that you've eaten a lemon. So I want you to crinkle your nose, and I want you to tighten your lips, and I want you to crinkle your forehead together and hold it into place. And when I say release, I want you to release all that tension out of your face. So let's begin. Crinkle that face up. Hold it tight. Hold it in place. Hold it and release. Very good. When you're doing your release, you can feel free to let your jaw hang open, open your mouth wide, just let it relax. Once again, we're going to crinkle our forehead, the crown of our nose, we're going to pucker our lips, we're going to hold that muscle tight, release those muscles in your face. So let's do it again. Ready? Hold the muscles in your face tight, tight, and release. Very good. You should feel all that tension leaving your head, leaving your face. Take a deep breath in and release it. Take a deep breath in and release. One more time. Take a deep breath in and release. At this point, you should feel nice and light, nice and relaxed. You've now done the Relax Your Body meditation. Congratulations. You should feel good. You should feel light. You should feel relaxed. And this is the state of mind you need to be in when you're communicating telepathically to the animals. Feels good. Okay, everybody can open their eyes. We're going to take a brief break. I want you to listen to the music. Continue to stay in that relaxed state, relaxing your body completely. And then we're going to come back and we're going to relax the mind. You're listening to Tim Link of Wagging Tales, Animal Communication Workshop number 1. Thank you. Welcome back. Relaxing our body using the proper breathing techniques to be able to connect and to be able to relax ourselves and relax our bodies. Now, hopefully your bodies are still relaxed, so stay in that relaxed state of mind. If you need to take some deep breaths and release them to get you further relaxed, that is fine. If you need to go back through this exercise and get yourself relaxed again, please do so. At this point, we're going to focus on relaxing the mind and opening the mind. As I mentioned before, you have to have a heart connection, have to open the body, allow that breath to flow through, relaxing the body to be able to receive information. But equally important is relaxing your mind, letting that monkey mind release itself to get rid of all those thoughts that keep popping into your mind that prevents you from totally opening yourself up to connecting and to hearing and to feeling the things around you. So I want to focus on that. So we're going to go into a meditation on relaxing your mind. And we're going to cover a lot more of how to breathe once again. So we're going to breathe a little bit and then we're going to relax the mind. So everybody get in their favorite position, whether it's in your chair with your favorite pillow supporting you and propping you up, whether it's on the floor relaxing. Please don't lay down, because these relaxation meditations and opening your mind meditations are very relaxing, and so we don't want you dozing off, which is a natural thing to do. But otherwise, get in a very comfortable position, and I want you to close your eyes, and we'll start off with some breathing, and then we'll open the mind.
Take a deep breath in.
If you want to, you can place your hands
and release on your diaphragm.
Deep breath in.
And initially focus on your breathing.
That would be fine.
Two.
Everybody relax.
Three.
I want you to take a deep breath in and hold it and then release.
Nice.
So take a deep breath in.
One more time.
Deep breath in.
Two.
Three.
One.
Relax.
Two.
Three. Release.
Very good.
Your body should be nice and relaxed. Your breathing should become natural. Breathing in deeply and releasing nice and gently. Very nice, very nice. Now, while you're in this relaxed state, I want you to picture yourself laying on a warm beach. The weather is just perfect. The beach can be anywhere in the world you wish it to be. The weather is not too hot, not too cool. A nice breeze blowing. The sun is out, warming your body, and the ocean is right at your toes. You're relaxing on the beach. You feel your body relaxing into the sand, relaxing deeply into the sand, just as if you were melting and becoming one with the sand. You hear the waves gently coming in, nice and easy. No rough waves, no loud crashing, just nicely coming up to the shore and then going back out again. It's like the breaths you take coming in and going back out again. With your eyes closed, you feel the warmth of the sun shining on your body, allowing your body to absorb that wonderful sun, making you feel oh so warm, oh so relaxed. The temperature is just perfect. Couldn't ask for a better day. Off into the distance, you hear some birds. There's some seagulls flying around, some pipers on the ground. You hear them oh so slightly. Their sweet sounds, the sweet energy they put off, the beautiful flapping of the wings, the nice gentle walking on the sand. You hear the birds and you enjoy the birds, enjoy the sounds, and you're becoming part of the birds and the nature and the environment that they live in. While you're doing this, you're still breathing nice, beautiful breath in and out. You feel the waves coming a little closer to you. They're starting to touch your toes, and then they gently roll back out to sea. They come in and they caress your toes slightly, and they go back out to the sea. The water is wonderful. It's not too warm. It's not too cold. It's just perfect. the waves come in, and now they're going over your feet to your ankles, covering your ankles, and then floating back out. The water from the tide is coming in over your feet, over your ankles, and then back out again. Waves are getting a little bit closer to you, but it's okay. It's wonderful. It feels fantastic. The waves are now coming in, and they're going up above your calves. They're caressing your calves down and out through your ankles, through your feet, and through your toes. The waves are nicely coming in over your toes, your feet, your ankles, and over your calves to your knees and back out again. It feels so wonderful. The waves are coming in a little bit more now, and it's perfect. It's now going all the way up to your hips and back out again. Oh, back out past your thighs and your calves and your ankles and your feet and your toes. The water's so warm. It's so inviting. The waves are coming in to the shoreline, to your toes, your ankle, your feet, up to your calves, all the way up to your hips, and back out again. You're laying on the beach, becoming one with the sand, feeling the warmth all around you, and the ocean water and waves are now coming in and coming all the way up to your chest. You feel the warmth all the way up to your chest and your shoulders. It's just right, and it flows back out again. And then the waves one more time come up, caressing your toes, over your feet, over your ankles, up to your calf, your thighs, your hips, up to your chest, up to your shoulders, and back out again. It's almost as you're floating with the water and the tide coming in and coming out, and you feel the warmth. And while you continue to feel the waves slightly coming in all the way to your shoulder, caressing with that warm sea water and flowing back out again, you imagine what the sky would be like, and you see the clouds around you, and you see the whisper of the wind while the warm waves are covering your body up to your shoulders and back down again. You become part of everything around you. The water is part of you, and you're part of it. You're part of the sand. Being part of the sand, it's part of you, and you're part of it. You're with the sun, and it's part of you, and you're part of it. The birds and the clouds and the wind, the breeze flowing through you, you're all at one, and you're totally relaxed. Nothing is on your mind, and your body is totally relaxed. Your body becomes totally relaxed. Your mind is totally open to receive everything around it, every word, every feeling, picture, every color, every emotion, every smell, every sensation is now part of you and part of your mind. You are now one with everything in nature, and it feels so good. So lay here on this beach, enjoy yourself for a while. Listen to the music. Let your body continue to be relaxed. Let your mind become totally open and free of any thoughts, receiving all that wonderful information, receiving all of the wonders around you. Very good. Very good. Well, everybody should be nice and relaxed now. Your body should be relaxed. Your mind should be open and free. It should feel really good at this point. And this is what we're talking about. Very simple meditations. And meditations, you could go through these exercises anytime you want to, or pick your favorite meditations to relax your body and open your mind. Make them short meditations, long meditations. Try to set aside time in your schedule to just be in the moment, to relax your body, to open your mind. Each time you communicate, each time you connect with the animals around you, go into that state of relaxation. Relax your body. Open your mind. Open your heart. Receive that information in. And most importantly, trust that information you're receiving. Always remember to breathe. Use your diaphragm. Take in those deep, wonderful cleansing breaths. Hold them for a moment and release them to relax your body and to open your mind. Do this many, many times during the day. That tension will release. and all the things that you've been worrying about will all of a sudden be released as well. Your body will feel good. You'll become one with your body, and you'll become one with your mind, and you'll be able to connect with the animals. If you've ever noticed an animal, if you have cats or dogs, particularly in your life, whenever they get up from a long nap, they breathe deeply during their nap. They've taken all that breath in and released it out and cleansed themselves. So when they do get up, they stretch their bodies. They shake it loose, get it nice and limber. They'll stretch their bottom part of their body fully. They stretch their upper part of their body fully. They'll open their mouth, so yawn and release that tension that's there. And that's their form of meditation. That's what they're doing. They're taking in that breath naturally, deeply, and releasing it, relaxing their bodies. And then they're stretching it out, pushing out all that tension that's in their body to totally relax their bodies and open themselves up and open their minds up to be able to communicate and to explore the wonders of the world. So we need to take our guides from our pets, watch them every day. This is what they do every single time, and that's exactly what we should be doing. And if we do this, we'll become one with the animals. We'll be able to communicate with them openly and honestly and receive all that wonderful information. Now, this completes section 2 of our animal communication workshop. This is Tim Link with Wagging Tails. I encourage you to continue to breathe and relax. Listen to the music. Quiet your mind. Relax your body. We'll go into the third section, which is guided meditation, where we'll do a little bit more meditation, but you'll actually go into the bodies of the animals. You will feel what they feel. You will see what they see. You will experience what they experience. So I thank you so much, and we'll do section 3, guided meditation, after this break.